This is Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors, exclusively on the Bun 2.0, KBUN-FM 104.5.
Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors is sponsored by DS Beverages, Paul Bunyan Country's distributor of Anheuser-Busch and Budweiser, by Northern Surplus Northern Outdoors in downtown Bemidji, Bonded Lock and Key, your home for Liberty Gun Safes, and Pine Ridge Service. Over just a few weeks from Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors, becoming a daily and becoming Fish and Paul Bunyan Country, today we thought we'd give you a little preview of some of the things you'll be hearing, including a big discussion, as always, to start off the year on Leech Lake. Let's check in with Carl Peterson. He is the Large Lake Specialist out of the Walker Area Fisheries Office. When we talk Large Lake in Walker, we're talking Leech, of course, one of the biggest of all time. Well, I guess I wouldn't say the biggest of all time, but certainly in our area, one of the really big lakes. And, you know, one of the things I've always been fascinated about, Carl, when it comes to Leech Lake is just how diverse it is. You know, some bays are shallow, some bays are deep. They're almost like several different lakes in one, really.
Yeah, that's a really neat thing about it. You know, our Western Bay, Walker Bay, it gets over 150 feet deep, and then you get to some of those other bays like Steamboat or Headquarters Boy, and they're real shallow, you know, up to, shallow is 10 feet deep, and Weedy, Bluegill Bass, Northern Pike, more like that. So it's definitely an interesting lake, and no matter what you want to fish in the area, it's got it, so...
Yeah, and it seems like, in general, the population health of any of the species in the lake are very good.
Yeah, for right now, walleyes are looking really good. Pike are doing pretty good. The only concern we have is the perch population is down a bit, and so we're looking at doing a walleye regulation change that hopefully will help improve that perch population for us.
So what are you thinking about?
What we've done is we've had, since 2005, we had a 18 to 26 walleye protected slot limit with a 4-fish bag limit, and that was modified in 2014 to a 20 to 26-inch protected slot. What we've done here for the opener in 2019 is remove that protected slot limit and go to more similar to the statewide regulation with one fish over 20 inch in possession limit of 4.
So the possession limit remains the same, 4,
yep.
but the one over can be, it's just anything over 20.
Anything over 20, yep. And the idea is that when we looked at our survey results from the past couple of years, we've got quite a few big spawners out there, you know, the big females in the lake and a fairly good number of big males. And we were protecting those in that protected slot limit, and if we didn't allow some harvest on those, they some of the males especially would just spend their entire lives in that protected slot limit. So, and then when we looked at the number of spawners that we have, we looked at how many spawning fish we have, you know, each year. We're having good recruitment each year as well, so that's the thing. We can pull out some of those spawners and still have good recruitment every year.
And how do you feel that will help the perch?
Well, the idea is that you've got these big fish out there feeding on those perch, so reduce the number of fish that are out there feeding on them, get some smaller fish in the lake that some folks can harvest as well. So if you look at the pounds of walleyes per net that we have in the lake, that's just been increasing. So you got fewer fish that people can harvest and that anglers can bring home. So the idea is to open that up so they can bring a few more fish home, reduce that pounds per net that are in the lake, but still have good year classes we can bring in each year.
Okay. I know, you know, I had heard the last couple of years discussing things that, you know, perch was a concern on Leech Lake, and yet this year you had a lot of ice pressure out there, and I heard lots of great perch reports, so I'm sure you lost a lot of perch in the ice fishing season.
Yeah, early ice we did, you know, we saw pretty good catches and some pretty good anecdotal, you know, people coming in saying they were doing pretty good catching, but ice conditions went pretty south pretty quick on Leech. You know, the Eel Pelt Festival, I don't know if you saw any of that. Quite a bit of water, quite a bit of people getting stuck, and so our perch harvest here towards the end of the season pretty much turned down to zero, so access on the lake was almost impossible. So our normal perch harvest, really, really high perch harvest, is this late ice, you know, late February into March, and we just haven't seen anybody angling out there, so that certainly saved a fair number of perch. And then you talk to the guys, too, that are out there with their, you know, with their underwater cameras, they're seeing quite a bit of small perch that we won't necessarily catch in our gill nets because they'll swim right through. So I guess the prognosis is looking good for the perch, at least on the next couple of years for us.
Okay, that's definitely good news, obviously, as it is fun fish to catch, number one, and number two, it is vital for the health of the walleye fishery as well.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the main feed source on the lake is the perch. Luckily, on Leech, we also have ciscos, and Cisco's are basically swimming candy bars out there. They're like a Snicker bar. They got so much energy content compared to a pert. So we haven't had any strong summer kills on the Cisco's in the past couple of years, so that population's been kind of helping out, keeping the walleyes and the northerns and the muskies on the lake going as well.
The new limit is not without controversy. I know there were some people that spoke out against it and had some concerns. What were their main concerns?
You know, some of the concerns we heard were that they thought the new regulations were a little bit too liberal. They worried we were going to pull too many fish off the lake. You know, some people we had, you know, some of the comments we came in were saying we, you know, maybe we should go down to a two bag, or maybe we should keep the slot limit on or make it even more strict. But, you know, the majority public support, we had 75% of the public comments that came in were in support of the regulations, so we were pretty comfortable with it. You know, we socially it was acceptable, and biologically it made the most sense, so that's why we're going with the reg change. And the nice thing about Leech Lake, too, is it's an adaptive management lake. We're out there surveying it every single year. We review it every year. We've got an input group, a public input group process that we use every single year. So we present the results to this input group that we look at. The management plan has specific goals outlined in it that, did we meet those this year? Yep. If not, there's some action items that are built into that plan that was developed with the input from the public as well. So we're pretty comfortable with what we've got now. And, we'll change the regulation, and we'll keep evaluating the next year, two or three, and we might have to adjust it as we go from there.
I think most people who live up here certainly know the journey of Leech Lake and how dire things were. I don't even remember how many years ago now. But for those who maybe are new and not real familiar, just a real brief rundown of the things that they've been doing on Leech Lake to get it back to where it is now.
Okay. Well, really the low numbers they saw in walleyes were back in around 2004, 2005, and attributed to a couple of different things. The main thing was we had a cormorant explosion on the lake, where the goal right now we manage the cormorant population on the lake, and the goal is to keep it around 500 nesting pairs. Well, we were seeing upwards of over 10,000 cormorants on the lake in the mid-2000s. So we've been able to develop some control efforts with some help of the Leech Lake Indian Reservation, and those cormorant numbers have been kept down. And in the same process, we also implemented the protected slot limit to protect some of those spawning fish to build back that fishery quicker. and then we also stocked. We stocked from 2005 to 2014 to give it another little boost. And we started seeing that we were having plenty of natural reproduction. And so in 2014 was last year we stocked. In 15, 16, and 17, and 18, we had tremendous natural reproduction that are producing those strong year classes. So we've brought the fishery back, and crossing our fingers, we'll keep it there for quite a while. So.
Okay. It's amazing when you think about what the cormorants were doing to that lake. I mean, taking out a lot of small walleyes, but also back to the perch. They were taking a ton of perch out of that lake, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, they take the prey base out that not only taking the walleyes, they take what the walleyes are eating. So there wasn't a belief that the cormorants could really do damage to the lake, but the studies that they did on the lake and a lot of the research, they really realized, yeah, these things are really doing some work, and we need to look at that if we're going to have a strong walleye population and perch population.
And it took a while, but quite a success story.
Yep, it's definitely. And, you know, and that's one thing that Leech Lake Cormorant Management is, they're looking at it nationwide. It's not just here in the state of Minnesota, but Doug Schultz, a biologist here in our office, or our area supervisor, he was just in D.C. presenting to the Fish and Wildlife Service and other folks about the cormorant management and how it absolutely can affect to fish in the lakes.
So right now we're in pretty good shape. The numbers are good. You're able to do natural reproduction. You're able to loosen up that regulation a little bit. And I don't think there's been too much demand. In fact, probably very little for going beyond four at this point, has there?
No, not really. You know, people seem pretty comfortable with that four fish limit. And so when we proposed it, if anything, the comments came in wanting to reduce that even more. But we're pretty comfortable with the four fish limit, and most of the public seem pretty comfortable with it as well.
Once again, in just a few weeks, you'll hear that full interview about what's going on Leech Lake, and one of many, many, many great fishing topics we'll have throughout the course of the spring, summer, and early fall on Fish and Paul Bunyan Country. Up next, another preview of what you might be hearing if you're tuning in to Fish and Paul Bunyan Country in a few weeks. We're going to talk about Lake of the Woods.
More of The Great Outdoors with Kev Jackson next on Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors.
At Rural First, we're the leader in rural construction loans because we don't work here. We work out here. We live rural, which means we know just what you need to build rural. Our dedicated team of loan specialists works with you throughout the construction process. And with our digital tool, you can manage your project all in one place. That's how Rural First gets you closer to what matters. Rural First is a registered trademark of Farm Credit Mid-America. NMLS 407249. Equal housing lender. Loan subject to approval and eligibility. Other terms and conditions may apply. Visit ruralfirst.com for more details. Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors, sponsored by Pine Ridge Service, DS Beverages, Bonded Lock and Key, and Northern Surplus Northern Outdoors. Check us out at KVUNSportsRadio.com. Click on Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. And you can subscribe to the podcast on Podcast One and iTunes. And, of course, pretty soon we shift from our weekly focus into a daily fishing-heavy program called Fish and Paul Bunyan Country. It's a few weeks away. But this week we're giving you some previews of some of the things you're going to be hearing, including some talk on one of the hottest lakes last summer, and that was Lake of the Woods. We hear from Phil Talmadge out of the Bidette Area Fisheries Office. So Lake of the Woods continues to be a really strong fishery. I heard just amazing reports from that lake last year.
Yeah, we've had a great summer last year that stuck all the way through fall, and the winter season wrapped up to be a very impressive winter fishing season as well. We had consistent fishing throughout most of the winter, and we don't have our creel survey numbers tallied up yet, but I'm anticipating it to be a good one on the books, too.
I mean, what's your vibe? I mean, as far as historically speaking, is it among the best, top 15%? What are we looking at here?
Yeah, we're looking at one of the top, at least in the last 10, 15 years has been kind of some of the best years of ice fishing we've had, and we're looking at it being one of the top two or three years that we've seen, and just kind of looking at the data early on, it's looking like we're going to be up at a near record pressure as well. So it was a busy winter on Lake of the Woods.
Yeah, near record pressure, but at the same time, it's a big body of water. It can probably handle a lot of pressure.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Despite the pressure and the harvest that's taken place, we've seen real good production, we've seen good recruitment, and we have a real healthy fishery out there in the lake right now for both walleye and sauger.
Okay. Now, some changes in the limits this year.
Yep. I'll start with the Lake of the Woods. It's going to be simpler for anglers to remember what the regulation is. In the past, the open water regulation was different from the winter fishing regulation. And now it's going to be one consistent regulation throughout the entire year on Lake of the Woods, and that's going to be 6 walleye sauger, no more than 4 walleye. Walleye's 19.5 to 28 inches need to be released immediately, and then anglers can keep one over 28. If you recall, it used to jump up to 8 combined in the past, but yeah. That changed this year, so from now on, it's 6. And similarly, it's 6 on the river. But we have one adjustment on 4 Mile Bay and the Rainy River from March 1st through April 14th is catch and release only for walleye and sauger at this point in time. So that's a departure from where we had been. We'd been allowing anglers to keep 2 fish in the past from the river and 4 Mile Bay, and so that's catch and release only now.
Okay, through April 14th, and then is it just shut down until the regular opener at that point?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. You definitely had a lot of anglers up there during that early fishing time in the past, and they were taking a lot of fish out of there.
Yeah, you know, and the big thing with that spring fishing season is, we've seen that fishery expanding. You know, we're seeing earlier ice outs or more early ice outs than we have in the past. So the season ends up being longer than it used to be. It used to be 10 to 14 day season. Now, in recent years, you know, we've had some seasons that have been over a month long, you know, and consequently it ends up driving our harvest, you know, above where we'd like to see it in the spring. And we follow that season up, and we do our annual electrofishing survey on the Rainy River. And what we've seen there is we've seen a reduction in the number of males that we find on the spawning grounds. So we have, in some years we've had less than 10% males, and typically you'd expect it to be over 50% male. So the males aren't making it to the spawning grounds to the way that we'd like to see them. And while this hasn't been necessarily having a population level effect or impacting Lake of the Woods as a whole, we have some stresses and pressures being put to that particular spawning population that we'd like to address. So that's the big driver behind that regulation change.
Okay. For those who aren't real familiar, what's the difference between a sauger and a walleye?
Well, they're both in the same family. They're both in the perch family, so they're very similar. And if you you just at a quick glance, if you're not into fishing or a fish person, you probably won't tell a difference. But a few big things that can tell them apart. First of all, walleyes grow faster, and they grow to bigger sizes, especially up here. So in general, sauger are smaller. But the best way to tell a walleye and a sauger apart is that the back side, towards the tail on the dorsal fin, that's the fin up on the top of the back of the fish, there's a dark triangle at the back side of that dorsal fin on a walleye. Whereas with the sauger, they don't have that dark triangle at the back of the dorsal. They actually have dots all over their dorsal fin. So that's the most surefire way to tell them apart. If you start looking at enough of them, you can just kind of pick them apart. Up here, a lot of our sauger end up with that white tip on their tail, so that's not always a reliable indicator for you.
Okay. You mentioned a great ice fishing season as far as harvest and numbers up there. It's a big, big lake, and it's coming to the end of the season now. So, but there was a time, and I know there were some real serious situations with some people's safety up there, because that is a vast area, and some people were getting lost pretty easy.
Yeah, it is a big body of water, it's important that people know where they're going know the conditions, and be safe and put safety first. No fish is worth risking any harm to yourself or others. And I say that when I say the others, I say they're, if you get stuck out there or lost, rescue crews are going to be looking for you. So they're at danger then too. So, people being wise helps out a lot. And then you need to always let somebody know where you're going and what time you should be back, so you can have somebody paying attention to what you're up to.
Okay. How many acres of Lake of the Woods do you actually have under your purview?
So the lake itself is about 1 million acres, and we have about a third of the acres about a third of Lake of the Woods is in Minnesota. So about 320,000 acres is what we're, the ballpark of what we're looking at is for the Minnesota waters.
Okay.
And so as you can imagine, then the other 600,000 acres are in Ontario and partly in Manitoba as well. But Ontario, the lake stretches all the way up to Kenora, north of us here.
Okay, and obviously, as you're putting together plans and trying to make this this lake as strong as possible, you have to be working in concert with the Ontario's officials as well, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, we meet on a regular basis with our counterparts in Ontario. And we actually set our targets in a cooperative framework with Ontario. So, the safe harvest that we'd like to see out of the lake in a year. The other part of it is too is the lake's so big, and there's so many different, and each bay is even a little bit different, that it provides us an opportunity to understand and get information on the other parts of the lake. And similarly for our Ontario counterparts, to get the information from that we have on Big Traverse and Muskeg Bays.
Okay. We're going to be talking sturgeon in a little while, so we'll put that aside for the moment. We know it's all about, you know, a huge amount of anglers up there for walleyes. On the Minnesota side, what else do people fish for on Lake of the Woods?
Well, on the, so, yeah, the walleye and snog are, the, you know, that's the bread and butter. You know, we get on the rainy, on Lake of the Woods and the Rainy River, those are the main species. But we do have people that come up here pike fishing. We have a very high quality pike fishery on Lake of the Woods. We've had a protective slot protecting large wall or large northern pike that's resulted in a good number of big fish. So we have it's a destination you can go and have a legitimate chance at catching a 40 inch long northern pike. And
wow.
You know that gets popular in the spring. You know, late ice. You know, ice out period.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, early ice, actually, it's a very popular too. We get some people up that try some spear fishing or tip-up fishing for them. So that's a very popular species here. We get anglers that also, I don't even know if I'd say they're targeting them as much, but that do every once in a while get into a good mess of nice-sized yellow perch. And when you get into the nice ones, they're like little footballs. They're good sized fish. And then obviously, as you mentioned, lake sturgeon on, you know, and they're more targeted in the Rainy River and Four Mile Bay.
Okay. What about muskies?
Well, the muskies, you know, we do get an occasional one, but most of the muskies are the muskie habitat is on the Ontario side, up towards Morrison and up that way. And around some of the islands up the northwest angle. So we don't actually see a lot of muskies down here on the south shore, and it's mainly habitat driven.
Okay, I know, you know, in Kenora area on the Canadian side, bass, great numbers of bass there. Do you get much bass angling, or do you have a lot of bass on your side?
Yeah, you know, we actually do have some good bass numbers up towards the northwest angle. We get good reports from bass anglers up there, and also you know, in the Rainy River, it's an exceptional bass fishery, and a lot of people, you know, and people know that now, and they're starting to key in on that. So we do have some good bass fishing opportunities in the area as well.
Okay. Yeah, because I talked to Jeff Gustafson quite a bit. He loves bass fishing, and it's just absolutely amazing the amount of bass they have in Ontario on the lake.
Yeah, up there in that Kenora area and a little bit to the east of there, it's really good bass habitat, and you know, both people like Jeff, they've done a good job, you know, getting out there and letting people know that the fish are there too. So,
okay, so let's get into it with the sturgeon that has become a very, very, very popular thing for Rainy River and Lake of the Woods.
Yeah, you know, it is amazing. You know, for a long time, our, you know, that spring walleye fishery was kind of the craze. And it, don't get me wrong, it's still very popular. But, you know, we've actually been seeing some of our busiest days in recent years being actually when the walleye season's closed and catch and release fishing for lake sturgeon's the ticket. And, you know, I think part of it is weather's getting a little bit nicer and people want to get out there and enjoy the outdoors. And it, you know, it's an opportunity to catch a really big fish, and if you're not the one catching it, maybe it's your friend with you in the boat or one of the other boats nearby. You're getting to watch it, so it's a lot of fun, and there's, you know, in many years there's a lot of good action to be had out there with those sturgeon.
Again, Fish and Paul Bunyan Country. We'll have a lot more from Phil and so many other anglers when we kick off that show 2 weeks prior to the walleye opener. In the meantime, we'll keep talking outdoors from here until there on a weekly basis. That'll do it for this week. I'm Kev Jackson.
This has been Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors. Hear it exclusively on KBUN-FM 104.5, Thursdays at 12:40 and Saturday mornings at 8.
At Rural First, we're the leader in rural construction loans because we don't work here. We work out here. We live rural, which means we know just what you need to build rural. Our dedicated team of loan specialists works with you throughout the construction process. And with our digital tool, you can manage your project all in one place. That's how Rural First gets you closer to what matters. Rural First is a registered trademark of Farm Credit Mid-America. NMLS 407249. Equal housing lender. Loan subject to approval and eligibility. Other terms and conditions may apply. Visit ruralfirst.com for more details. Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.